Hello and welcome back to the Security Talk series. My name is Nick Talkington and I work for the Security Center of Excellence group within Microsoft. In this session, we're going to cover security as it relates to Microsoft's private cloud offering and also how you can use the Microsoft technology stack to securely build your private cloud. In this session, we're going to provide a brief definition of the terminology that will be used throughout the session, as well as provide a high-level overview of what a private cloud built on Microsoft technologies will look like. This section describes the cloud solution at a logical, service-oriented layer and does not go into specific implementation detail. The next presentation in the series is going to go deeper into the technical aspects of the solution and discuss the implementation of security controls in more detail. Next, we're going to provide a brief discussion of the main security concerns that customers have when seeking to build a private cloud. And the majority of the session, we're going to focus on how to secure and manage compliance of a private cloud built on Microsoft technologies in order to address the concerns raised earlier. This slide shows the US National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST's, definition of the cloud, which is generally accepted by vendors and service providers across the industry. I'm assuming that most people watching this session are broadly familiar with these definitions, so I won't go through it in detail, but I will run through it quickly to ensure that we all have a consistent definition and to set the context for the rest of the presentation. A solution must have five essential characteristics for it to be considered a cloud. On-demand self-service, so that a consumer or tenant, as we commonly refer to them, can provision computing capabilities such as servers and storage as required and without any manual intervention from the service provider. Broad network access refers to the ability to consume cloud services from the full spectrum of devices, such as the traditional thick client, to browsers, web services, and mobile devices such as phones and PDAs. Resources of the cloud service provider, such as compute, network, and storage resources, are pooled and can be dynamically assigned and reassigned to individual tenants as required. Rapid elasticity refers to the ability of a tenant to provision more resources or to give back existing resources in response to their existing demands and to only pay for what they actually use. And in order to offer that elastic pay-as-you-go service, there must be an ability to measure usage of the various services that make up the solution, so tenants can monitor their usage and be billed accordingly. There are three different cloud service models that can be used to deliver those capabilities. The simplest is infrastructure as a service, where the cloud service provider allows the tenant to provision servers and storage together with the underlying network connectivity. Tenants are free to deploy and run any software they like and to manage and monitor it as they see fit. With platform as a service, the cloud service provider provides a managed runtime environment for customer code on top of those services provided by the infrastructure as a service model. So if you think about the public Windows Azure cloud service, Microsoft provides a runtime environment that any .NET application can be moved to, together with hosted SQL database services, access control, and connectivity. Finally, the software as a service model, where tenants purchase fully managed software applications as services with no knowledge or concern about the underlying hosting resources. An example of this is Microsoft's Office 365 cloud service, where users can access fully managed instances of messaging, collaboration, and business productivity applications. There are four different deployment models by which the service models can be implemented. Now, while it looks like there's a vertical alignment between the deployment and service models, in fact, any of the service models can be implemented using any of the four deployment models. Deployment models dictate who the intended customers of the cloud service are. From the public cloud, where any individual or organization can purchase services, to the community cloud, which is typically made available to separate entities that are bound by some common purpose, such as multiple departments within a government body. The focus of this session is going to be the private cloud, where the cloud services are consumed by different business units or cost centers within a single organizational structure. And as I've said before, we're going to refer to these different entities as tenants. So another way to look at the private cloud is really just the next evolution of the traditional data center, where the existing operational models are transitioned to a self-service, pay-as-you-go model, where the underlying physical resources are pooled, partitioned, and shared across the entire business. There are also a set of common characteristics that I'm not going to go through, which are typically associated with a cloud model, but are not absolutely required to meet that definition. So while things like virtualization are viewed as an optional characteristic, It's pretty hard to envisage how you would provide resource pooling and self-service in a cost-effective manner without using virtualization of resources. We're also going to focus on infrastructure as a service model, as this is the service model of most interest to companies seeking to transform their data centers to a service-oriented model capable of hosting disparate workloads across their organization. This slide expands on the previous definition to articulate Microsoft's vision for the private cloud. The Hyper-V role built into Windows Server 2008 R2 provides the platform for the private cloud, virtualizing and partitioning physical resources to create a shared pool of resources that tenants can automatically provision. This provisioning and automated management and monitoring of provision resources is provided by the System Center suite of management tools, which we'll be introducing shortly. This changes the business perspective from the number and specification of physical resources to the overall computing resource capacity at your disposal, which ultimately shifts the focus to a service-oriented view where the needs of the applications drive the underlying resource usage. A private cloud built on Microsoft technologies exhibits the following characteristics. Tenants are granted the ability to provision compute and storage resources as they need them to run their workloads. As I've already mentioned, in the case of a private cloud, a tenant is an individual business unit, department, project team, or any other cost center in the business that can procure resources. Tenant administrators are granted access to a self-service portal where they can initiate a workflow to provision virtualized servers of the appropriate capacity, for example, of a small, medium, or large capacity, and also storage of the appropriate size and performance characteristics. Resources are provisioned without any intervention from the infrastructure administrators, and the end-to-end process is tracked via the portal. A chargeback model is defined, defining how tenants will be charged for using the cloud resources. This is typically the number and size of resources provisioned times the amount of time that they are provisioned for. This information is visible to the tenant administrators via the portal, as well as the ability to perform cost reporting. Management and monitoring of the cloud infrastructure is highly automated through the System Center suite of products. Opalis is used to integrate all of these individual management and monitoring tools to orchestrate workflows that perform complex, repetitive tasks in a highly repeatable manner. Not only does this significantly reduce operational costs of the cloud infrastructure, it greatly enhances its security by eliminating human error. Note that in addition to managing and monitoring the cloud infrastructure, the same tools can be used to provide management and monitoring of the tenant workloads as well. For example, things like patch management services, and we're going to cover this in more detail later. Finally, tenants are delegated the ability to manage, monitor, and report on the resources that they have provisioned. This slide shows the different layers that are used to construct an infrastructure as a service private cloud on Microsoft technologies. As this session is a high-level overview, we're not going to decompose this into any more implementation specifics, but I will be revisiting this topic and expanding on the topic in a deep dive session on private cloud security. So we start out with the physical servers, storage, and network infrastructure that we are used to from a traditional data center environment. These shared computation, storage, and network resources are virtualized to abstract the physical implementation from the logical use of those resources. What we refer to as scale units are created from up to 16 physical servers running Windows Server 2008 R2 with the Hyper-V role installed. These servers are clustered using Microsoft failover clustering technology to provide a fault-tolerant virtualized computing environment capable of hosting up to 1,000 virtual machines per scale unit. Hyper-V enforces isolation and non-interference, ensuring that the actions of one virtual machine can't impact another or the hosting infrastructure. A management layer that is typically hosted on a dedicated and also virtualized platform is used to provide management and monitoring capabilities to the scale units. This management layer is built using the entire suite of System Center products to provide software and update deployment, configuration management and compliance checking, deep monitoring at the hardware, operating system and application layers, as well as virtual machine and data management services. Now, we're going to look in more detail at this monitoring and management layer later on in this session. Opalis is a product recently acquired by Microsoft and integrates with and ties together all of the different System Center products to automate and orchestrate complex management workflows. The workflows leverage a number of different automated management tasks in a specific sequence and provides detailed auditing at each stage of the workflow. As an example, we could automate the task of moving running virtual machines from one physical host in a cluster without it causing any interruption to the virtual machines using the live migration feature. Then we could patch and reboot the physical host. And finally, we could return the virtual machines to the newly patched host. And we could do all of that as a single, highly automated workflow. These management and orchestration layers are exposed to service and tenant administrators via web-based portals, allowing the service administrators to manage the cloud infrastructure and the tenant administrators to request, manage, and report on the services that they have had provisioned. Finally, all of this is encapsulated by Active Directory, which provides a common overarching security model controlling all access to resources, whether they're part of the hosting infrastructure or the virtual machines run by the individual business units. Now, we're going to be looking at examples of each of these layers throughout the remainder of this session and describe how they all contribute to a well-managed and highly secure computing environment. The number one concern for customers considering moving services to the cloud is security. So a survey done by IDC indicating that 75% of respondents rated security concerns either a 4 or a 5 on a 1 to 5 scale. Now, it's worth noting that there was no differentiation between private and public cloud, which no doubt distorts the figure for private cloud. This is because moving to a public cloud involves handing over control to a third party, sharing services with unrelated business entities, potentially even competitors, and requires a high level of trust in the provider's security model and practices. So in many ways, the security concerns for a private cloud are similar to those of a self-hosted or outsourced data center. However, the move to a virtualized, self-service, service-oriented paradigm inherent in private cloud computing introduces some additional security concerns. First and foremost is isolation of tenants from each other and the hosting infrastructure at both the compute and network layers. Virtualization is at the heart of Microsoft's private cloud strategy, and the security of this model is totally reliant on the ability to isolate one tenant from another and prevent a careless or malicious tenant from impacting the stability of the core infrastructure on which all tenants rely. Another concern is authentication, authorization, and auditing of access to the cloud services. Self-service implies that tenant administrators can initiate management processes and workflows, whereas previously this was managed by IT. So any misconfiguration or excessive permissions granted to these users can impact the stability or security of the cloud solution. Now, the remaining concerns in the list are similar to those of a traditional data center environment, which is not surprising in that private cloud is really just an evolution of the traditional data center model. The impact of confidentiality, integrity, or availability via exploitation of software vulnerabilities is an ever-present concern. Malicious users use known flaws in software to elevate their privileges or to deny service to others. It's therefore critical that known flaws be addressed by applying the appropriate patch or mitigating control. Unauthorized access or denial of service due to weak security configuration or misconfiguration. Now, poor security configurations expose systems to compromise or inappropriate use. So Microsoft provides guidance and tools to manage all phases of the platform and Microsoft application hardening process, and we're going to look at that in a bit more detail later on in this session. Malicious code introduced either intentionally or accidentally into the cloud environment can compromise the confidentiality or integrity of data, or impact the availability of cloud services. Therefore, effective, multifaceted malware control is an essential control in combating this risk. Accidental or intentional deletion or modification of data, device failure, and other events can also compromise the integrity or availability of data. An effective backup and restore strategy is essential, as is the protection of the backup solution and media to protect the confidentiality of sensitive data. And finally, compliance with internal and industry-specific regulations and standards is a requirement for many organizations. Verifiable methods of applying, measuring, and reporting compliance with mandatory controls are essential to meeting an organization's compliance obligations. Up until now, we've defined private cloud we've described at a very logical service layer what Microsoft's implementation of a private infrastructure as a service cloud looks like and what the key security concerns are. In the remainder of the presentation, we're going to focus on how the architecture and security controls present in a private cloud built on Microsoft technologies enables customers to effectively mitigate those concerns. So we're going to look at five different areas of security controls. First is the secure virtualization platform. Now, I've mentioned that the biggest risk in running in a multi-tenancy virtualized environment is that a tenant running services on the same physical infrastructure as you can break out of its isolating partition and impact the confidentiality, integrity, or availability of your workload or your data. Therefore, security of the virtualization platform is key, and we're going to illustrate how Hyper-V achieves the objectives of isolation and non-interference between individual virtual machines. We're going to look at the secure development lifecycle. Now, security flaws are an unfortunate fact of life in all complex software products. Products designed, tested, and delivered with a focus on security at every stage of the development lifecycle will have less flaws and provide a safer environment for customers using those products. Every Microsoft product goes through the rigorous, industry-leading secure development lifecycle process, and we're going to cover that in a bit more detail. Highly automated management, monitoring, and reporting. Now, many management tasks require multiple steps that must be performed correctly in the proper sequence by multiple administrators across multiple systems. Any shortcuts, omissions, or errors can leave assets vulnerable to unauthorized access or affect the reliability of components within the solution. So by orchestrating discrete management and monitoring tasks into workflows that require proper authorization and approval, the chances of mistakes that can affect the security of the solution are greatly diminished. A comprehensive security model for authentication, authorization, and auditing. Now, Active Directory Services, as I've already mentioned, provides the overarching framework for authentication and access control, and that encompasses all parts of the hosting and hosted services. So not only the hosting infrastructure, but also the virtual machine workloads that run within that infrastructure. This provides a single point of managing identities and credentials for use across the cloud, authentication services, including certificate and smart card authentication, and also a common security model for providing access to resources. Active Directory also provides a centralized policy store for managing the security configuration of all infrastructures, as well as the tenant virtual machines. And finally, we're going to look at multi-layered security controls. Now, Microsoft take a defense-in-depth approach of implementing multiple security controls as a series of layers to secure the cloud solution. So the idea behind that is in the event that one control is misconfigured or bypassed, other security controls are present to maintain the security of assets in the solution. As I've said previously, the biggest risk to running in a virtualized multi-tenancy environment is that code running on one tenant's virtual machine can interact with processes, memory, or data belonging to another virtual machine, or that of the host server itself. So we're going to take a high-level look at the architecture of the Hyper-V hypervisor and how it is used to mitigate that threat. This slide shows a standard, non-virtualized version of Windows. The kernel and kernel mode drivers are run in the highly privileged Ring 0 processor mode, and user processes are run in the least privileged Ring 3. When Hyper-V is installed, the hypervisor is inserted into the software stack below the Windows kernel to virtualize the underlying physical resources. While there is no such thing as Ring minus 1, the diagram illustrates that the hypervisor is running in an even more privileged state than the kernel and device drivers in Ring 0. Hyper-V implements a microkernel hypervisor that minimizes the size of the trusted computing base and hence the potential for security-related flaws. At roughly 600 kilobytes in size, only the minimum required set of functions are implemented in the critical hypervisor layer, and all other virtualization functionality is pushed up into the less privileged Ring 3. An instance of Windows Server 2008 R2 core exists in what is known as the root partition, and is responsible for mediating the access of all virtual machines to physical resources via the hypervisor. A core installation is an implementation of Windows that has no user shell and none of the user mode applications associated with a full installation of Windows. All you have is a command prompt interface, as well as a set of powerful management interfaces that can be used by remote tools. By removing all of this functionality from the deployment, the attack surface is dramatically reduced and servicing requirements such as patching are significantly reduced. Also in the root partition, but up in the least privileged ring 3, is the virtualization stack and worker processes that manage all of the virtual machines. Each virtual machine is run in a dedicated guest partition and serviced by a unique worker process in the virtualization stack. It has its own operating system, whether that be a Windows Server version, Windows Client version, Linux system, or any other supported platform. And for each guest partition that gets created, a new worker process is created that is dedicated to managing that virtual machine. So by running each virtual machine as a separate worker process in Ring 3, a misbehaving process cannot affect the stability of the remaining worker processes. Each process also has a dedicated VM bus channel through which requests for physical resources like CPU, network, and storage devices are mediated via the kernel mode drivers. So in this architecture, there is no common communication channel shared by any of the guest partitions. Our claims of Windows 2008 R2 and Windows 7 product security are backed up by successful certification to Common Criteria Evaluation Assurance Level, or EAL, Level 4, which is the highest practical assurance level for any general purpose operating system. So we've seen the microkernel hypervisor implemented by Hyper-V. Let's now have a look at the monolithic hypervisor architecture as implemented by VMware as a comparison. In a monolithic hypervisor, the virtualization stack and all third-party drivers run inside the critical hypervisor layer. The more code, and in particular third-party code, such as device drivers that is run, the more potential exists for a flaw to undermine the security or reliability of the hypervisor. By putting all of this code, especially third-party code, into the hypervisor, the harder it is to perform security verification on it, and the more opportunity exists that a security flaw could undermine the isolation and non-interference enforced by the hypervisor. So every time a new driver is released by a vendor and certified by VMware for their platform, a new opportunity is presented that an undetected flaw could threaten the security of that solution. This is echoed by a quote from Linus Torvalds, who pioneered Linux and is the architect of the Linux kernel. He said, "The fact is, the absolute last place you want to see drivers is in the hypervisor, not only because added abstraction layer is inevitably a bigger performance problem, but because hardware and drivers are by definition buggier than generic code that can be tested." I want to talk now about the secure development lifecycle, which is a proven industry-leading process that is used by all of the development teams inside Microsoft to secure their products. Development groups within Microsoft use the Secure Development Lifecycle, or SDL, to systematically address the security threats that may be inherent in their software products. The Secure Development Lifecycle is a set of processes and tools designed to reduce the number and severity of vulnerabilities in software products. It encompasses education of developers, program managers and architects, mandates secure development practices, and enforces accountability of individuals and product teams for building consistently more secure software. The SDL addresses security threats throughout the development process by means that include threat modeling during the design process, following development best practices and code security standards during coding, and requiring various tools for testing and verification before deployment. These proactive checks during development make software less vulnerable to potential threats after release, and the secure development lifecycle provides a structured and consistent methodology with which to apply them. These methodologies, which are supported by an executive commitment to security, have helped Microsoft develop more secure software over time. Many management tasks require multiple steps that must be performed correctly, in the proper sequence by multiple administrators and across multiple systems. Any shortcuts, omissions, or errors can leave assets vulnerable to unauthorized access or affect the reliability of components within that solution. This operational complexity is at odds with providing a highly deterministic and secure solution. Task complexity makes it difficult to ensure the task is done thoroughly and in strict accordance with defined processes. Complex tasks may need coordination and proper sequencing of multiple individuals or teams for them to be considered complete and accurate. All of these factors increase the chance of omissions and errors, which can introduce security vulnerabilities. And it can also be difficult to discover who did what and when, making verification and traceability of the task extremely difficult. An old truth is, you can't secure what you don't know what you have. Without an up-to-date configuration management database, or CMDB, containing all of your assets and describing their configurations, as well as a history of all changes, it's easy to overlook the need for a security control. Forgetting to complete just one security task, such as applying an update, can leave a system vulnerable to attack. This makes evident the need for a high degree of automation of complex tasks and an up-to-date repository of configuration information that can be leveraged by the management and monitoring processes and tools. In a Microsoft private cloud, this is achieved with the System Center suite of products and Opal orchestration. By orchestrating discrete management and monitoring tasks into workflows that require proper authorization and approval, the chance of mistakes that can affect the security of the solution are greatly diminished. And unlike our competitors, whose tools only focus on managing and monitoring virtual machines, we have a common set of tools that can be used to manage the private cloud infrastructure, as well as all of the workloads that run on top of them. Management, monitoring, and reporting Microsoft Cloud is provided by the suite of targeted System Center products, all integrated and orchestrated by Opal's workflows. Virtual Machine Manager is used to manage virtual machines on the scale units, creating new virtual machines from templates, decommissioning virtual machines that are no longer required, and migrating them between nodes in the cluster using the live migration feature with no interruption of service. Authorization Manager, or ASMAN, is a Windows component that allows granular tasks to be delegated to specific user roles, allowing non-administrators to manage their own virtual machines without affecting the security of the host. While not a part of the System Center suite, the Windows Deployment Services, which is a role of Windows Server, is used to automate the automated deployment of physical servers to make up the scale units themselves. Configuration Manager is used to provide software deployment and services to the servers within the scale units. It can also be used to monitor and report on compliance of the servers with defined security baselines, which we're going to talk about later on in this module. Operations Manager is used to provide real-time monitoring of the server hardware, operating system, and software stack of the scale units, ensuring that any failures can be quickly resolved before they affect the stability or availability of cloud services. Alerts from Operations Manager can also be used to automatically trigger workflows, such as migrating virtual machines to a new node if the hosting node fails. The Audit Collection Service feature of Operations Manager can also be used to consolidate security event logs from all hosts, allowing administrators to run reports and monitor for unauthorized activity. Operations Manager can also be integrated with the network and storage hardware to extend monitoring to these resources and provide end-to-end monitoring of the cloud infrastructure services. Data Protection Manager is used to provide backup and restore services to the management infrastructure as well as the virtual machines, backing up data to tape as well as replicating data backups to a disaster recovery site if used. And finally, Service Manager maintains the configuration management database, describing all components of the cloud solution and automating change, configuration, and incident management processes. I should also point out that while the focus of this session is on securing the private cloud hosting infrastructure and its constituent services, all of the System Center tools can be used to extend management and monitoring to the tenant services hosted on that infrastructure as well. Opalis is a product recently acquired by Microsoft and integrates with all of the System Center products to automate and orchestrate complex workflows. The workflows leverage a number of different automated management tasks in a specific sequence and provide feedback on the status of the workflow. As an example, we could migrate all running virtual machines from a server to be patched to a different server in the scale unit, patch the server, reboot the server, verify and report on patch deployment status, and update the configuration management database in Service Manager, all as a single workflow. All actions in the workflow are authenticated and authorized, and an audit trail retained for reporting purposes. Automation and orchestration performs multiple tasks in a highly consistent and repeatable fashion, ensuring that mistakes that have the potential to affect the security or availability of services are avoided. Note that in addition to the 5 System Center products and Active Directory, Opalis has around 25 connectors to third-party management tools from vendors like HP, Computer Associates, BMC, IBM, and EMC, and are widely used in customer environments. This allows tasks and knowledge contained within those systems to be leveraged in workflow definitions. I should also point out that the next wave of system center products, which is due out around the end of calendar year 2011, the Opalis product will be renamed System Center Orchestration Manager 2012 and will feature further integration with the Microsoft Management Stack. Finally, the Dynamic Data Center Toolkit for hosters can be customized to create highly customized portals to provide interfaces for both tenant and cloud service administrators, giving them the ability to manage workflows and to monitor and report on their services. Tenants use this portal to provision infrastructure services from a catalog, which is maintained in System Center Service Manager, to view the status of their requests, manage and monitor their resources, as well as decommission resources when no longer needed. All of those requests are authenticated against Active Directory, and all activity is logged to provide a comprehensive audit trail. This slide gives a quick example of one of the Opalis workflows and the different service layers that must be orchestrated for it to be completed. In this example, we wish to retire a failed virtual machine and replace it with a brand new virtual machine. So in step one, the service request in Service Manager has been approved, the old virtual machine gets stopped, the storage and network resources that it was using get released back into the shared pool. The asset is then retired from the Configuration Management Database, and Operations Manager is instructed to cease monitoring of that server. Next, the workflow creates a new virtual machine from the appropriate template, configures it with storage and network resources, and creates a ticket in Service Manager. All subsequent changes to the virtual machine will now be recorded as changes to that service ticket. Automated tasks are run to validate the virtual machine and ensure that it is functioning correctly. Results from this validation are used to update the service ticket associated with that change. Required applications are automatically installed by Configuration Manager. The deployment of those applications is verified and the results stored back in the service ticket. Finally, once the new asset has been created and configured, it is recorded in the Configuration Management Database, and Operations Manager is instructed to begin monitoring of that server. So you can see that even this relatively simple process has a large number of individual steps and presents a high risk of misconfiguration or omission without automation. Automating processes ensures that they are performed exactly in accordance with the defined process, minimizes security exposure due to misconfiguration, and leaves a detailed audit trail of all activities. You cannot securely achieve the task automation and self-service capabilities required of a private cloud without an overarching security model. Active Directory provides this model, providing reliable and secure identification or authentication services to cloud infrastructure administrators, delegated administrators of tenant services, and users of the cloud services alike. The Windows authorization mechanism that is common across the entire management platform makes it easy to grant permissions and privileges to the appropriate users and to audit their activities. The Audit Collection Services feature of Operations Manager or a third-party security log consolidation and reporting tool can be used to track and audit this access for unauthorized activities. The Windows platform also ships with an Authorization Manager component to extend role-based access control to System Center products, allowing specific tasks to be delegated to specific user roles without having to give them excessive privileges. Active Directory also provides the tools and capabilities to centrally author and enforce security policies across the entire cloud infrastructure. And the desired configuration management feature of Config Manager is used to measure and report on compliance with those security policies. We're going to cover each of these in more detail later on in this session. Finally, Active Directory is extensible with additional features to enhance the capabilities of the security model in a highly integrated manner. Digital certificates can be issued and managed for use in a wide range of authentication, encryption, and integrity scenarios, and Federation Services allows claims-based authentication and authorization to supplement Kerberos authentication to enable secure collaboration with external users or services. A defense-in-depth approach of implementing multiple security controls as a series of layers is used to secure the private cloud solution. In the event that one control is misconfigured or bypassed, other security controls are present to maintain the security of assets in the solution. This table is by no means comprehensive, but lists a few controls found at each of the layers. As with the management and monitoring strategy, all of these security controls are common to both the cloud infrastructure and can equally well be used by the workloads they run. As we have focused more on the cloud infrastructure, we will discuss the controls mainly in the context of securing the cloud infrastructure rather than the workloads they host. And as such, we're going to focus on network and host layer controls. At the data layer, the Windows security model is used to provide authorization and auditing to all securable resources in the cloud environment. System Center Data Protection Manager is also used to protect the integrity and availability of configuration databases and other essential data used to provide the cloud infrastructure. While not typically required to secure data of the hosting infrastructure, controls for data encryption, enforcement of usage rights using Active Directory Rights Management Service, and data leakage protection are used to secure the data of the tenant workloads. Controls at the application layer include application-specific identification and authorization services, as well as protecting application data, such as Exchange messaging traffic and SharePoint collaboration libraries from malicious code threats. Again, these controls are focused on the tenant workloads as opposed to the hosting cloud infrastructure. There are a number of controls at the host layer designed to protect the physical servers that host the tenant virtual machines. The hypervisor is the main control for isolating virtual machines from one another on a single host and has been discussed previously in this session. Malware protection on individual hosts is also important to maintain the security of the hosting infrastructure and will be discussed shortly. Patch management is equally applicable at the host or operating system layer and the application layer, as is hardening or applying a security configuration that strengthens default settings to make systems more resistant to attack. These are both discussed in more detail later on in this module. Networks must carry different types of traffic to manage and monitor the infrastructure as well as traffic from hosted workloads. Controls at the network layer are a critical step in protecting the hosting infrastructure from tenants and also protecting one tenant from another. There are a number of complementary technologies such as VLAN isolation, host-based firewalling, and isolation using the IPsec protocol that we'll cover towards the end of this presentation. Finally, perimeter and access security controls. In a private cloud, cloud resources may be hosted on the same LAN as clients or may be accessed over the internet. Perimeter controls cannot be prescribed without understanding the particular requirements and context of the cloud scenario. Customers may use a wide range of firewall, proxy, and gateway products from their preferred vendors to provide authenticated, audited, and secured connectivity between clients and cloud services. Microsoft provides the forefront suite of edge protection products that integrate with the Active Directory security model and are optimized to protect Microsoft application services. Unified Access Gateway, or UAG, may be used to provide authenticated and encrypted access to administrative portals for remote users, as well as provide remote access to cloud services accessed by remote employees. In addition to providing fine-grained authorization to services published through UAG, it provides features to improve access security, such as enabling different levels of access based on an endpoint's compliance with defined security policies, and securely erasing data fragments from endpoints when they disconnect. The suite also includes TMG, or Threat Management Gateway, which may be used to provide limited, tightly controlled outbound access to the internet for the cloud systems that require internet access. Vulnerabilities in software are a fact of life, and if not addressed, pose one of the greatest threats to the security of your infrastructure. While deliberate and disciplined software development processes, like the secure development lifecycle, succeed in greatly reducing the number of vulnerabilities that otherwise would be present in shipping software, and strategies like minimizing the attack surface reduces the number of components that could potentially contain flaws, some vulnerabilities will still be found and require patching. To address the threat posed by exploits targeting vulnerable software, Microsoft has implemented a comprehensive software update management process to protect its customers. It all starts with a predictable release process, with updates released on the second Tuesday of every month, known as Patch Tuesday, at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, with extensive communication and advance notification in advance. While the vast majority of security updates are released to this schedule, urgent patches may be released outside of the schedule if an undisclosed vulnerability is discovered that poses a significant threat to Microsoft customers. Microsoft takes extensive steps to ensure that customers are notified of vulnerabilities in their deployed products that could expose them to risk. Detailed security bulletins, advanced notification of security bulletins 3 working days prior to release, and multiple free subscription services are used to ensure customers are kept informed in a timely fashion. The automatic updates agent built into all supported versions of Windows allows individual computers to report missing patches to a central repository like Configuration Manager, which starts the remediation process. Updates are extensively tested against a wide range of configurations and with a huge number of applications. Patches are rolled out to around 24,000 clients and data center servers internally at Microsoft, roughly 3 weeks before release, for testing under real-world conditions. They are also released to selected customers as part of their secure update validation program to expand the scope of testing even further. This extensive testing against a wide set of configurations contributes to the overall quality of software updates and minimizes the chance of any adverse side effects. As described earlier, this focus on delivering high-quality security fixes in a timely and consistent manner is recognized by Windows products being successfully certified at the Common Criteria Evaluated Assurance Level 4. While not a requirement for any of the certification levels, the certification is augmented with FLR.3, which is lifecycle support at the systematic flaw remediation level, recognizing the fact that Microsoft have a very well-defined and well-executed mechanism for remediating security bugs after their products have shipped. By contrast, our competitors like VMware only submit their platform for certification to FLR.2, which is flaw reporting procedures, in recognition to the fact that their processes for remediating security bugs are less mature than those of Microsoft. In addition to providing timely notifications and high-quality fixes to identified software flaws, the System Center suite of products, which is automated and orchestrated by Opalis, provides a highly reliable and efficient tool set for applying these updates. Hosts and tenant virtual machines regularly scan for missing updates using metadata provided by Microsoft and report their requirements to Configuration Manager. An administrator can then initiate the update process once the update has been tested and approved for deployment. By leveraging Windows failover clustering and the live migration feature of virtual machines, the scale units hosting the virtual machines can be patched and rebooted without causing any downtime to the hosted virtual machines. And I'm going to show you this on the next slide. This slide illustrates the level of orchestration between System Center products to manage the patching process in a highly repeatable and predictable fashion and with minimal management overhead. So to start the process, the administrator receives notification of a patch, determines that it's applicable, does the necessary testing, and then the patch is then ready for deployment. He authenticates the service manager and submits the request for approval. Once the request is approved, the patch workflow gets initiated. The next thing is Virtual Machine Manager migrates any running virtual machines to another node in the cluster without interrupting the service provided by that virtual machine. The hosts are placed into what's called maintenance mode so that they don't trigger any service unavailable alerts, and the hosts are patched and restarted if required. The images that are used to roll out additional scale unit nodes by Windows Deployment Services are also patched at that point. Results of the patching process are recorded in the Service Manager ticket and the Configuration Management database item for that patch server. After the host is restarted, the services are verified and the host is taken out of maintenance mode. Virtual machines are migrated back to the patched and fully functioning host. And finally, the ticket is updated with status information and results at every stage of the process and can be used for auditing and remediation purposes. The configuration of hosts should be hardened to disable weaker security methods that may be enabled by default to support legacy clients and applications, and also to disable interfaces and functionality that is not required to operate the solution. The Microsoft Security Compliance Manager, or SCM, is a free tool from Microsoft that replaces the individual security guides that Microsoft has published all the way since Windows 2000, and provides an integrated toolset to drive the entire hardening lifecycle, from requirements gathering to policy design through policy deployment and finally ending up with the measurement of systems for compliance with those hardening policies. Microsoft provides security configurations for each of their client and server operating systems, as well as roles and features that run on those operating systems and client applications such as Internet Explorer and Office. These configurations encapsulate Microsoft and industry best practices for hardening the Microsoft platform and applications and are fully tested and supported by the corresponding product groups and support organization. Security Compliance Manager provides read-only templates of the security configurations tested and recommended by the Windows 2008 R2 Security Guide. It provides baselines for normal use, called Enterprise Client, as well as baselines for high security environments, which are referred to as specialized security limited functionality. In addition to the base templates, incremental templates for specific Windows roles, such as Hyper-V host, are provided. Organizations can save any customizations to these templates as their own custom templates and have rich tools for version control and reporting. Once the custom baselines have been established, they are easily exported to group policy and enforced via Active Directory domain membership. These same baselines are then exported to System Center Configuration Manager, where the desired configuration management feature is used to periodically measure the configuration of computers against those baselines. All compliance reports from computers are centralized and aggregated, allowing detailed reports to be run to identify any non-compliance and initiate remedial action if required. Reports can also be submitted to auditors to demonstrate compliance with stated security controls. Protecting hosts, the workloads that run on them, and the infrastructure used to manage and monitor the private cloud solution must all be protected from the inadvertent or intentional introduction of malware into the cloud environment. Microsoft has recently released Forefront Endpoint Protection 2010 that provides highly effective reactive, or signature-based, and proactive, or behavior-based, detection and removal of sophisticated malware threats with one of the lowest false positive rates in the industry. This is supplemented by the cloud-based dynamic signature service, which can deliver up-to-the-minute signatures in real time to an endpoint if the behavior monitoring engine on that endpoint suspects that a file may be infected. It also includes the network inspection system feature, which monitors network traffic to and from an endpoint and will drop the connection if it detects that a network-based exploit, such as the one used by Configure, is being used against that endpoint. These highly effective detection and remediation capabilities are backed up by consistently high performance in anti-malware benchmark tests, such as those conducted by AV Comparatives and VB100 certification programs. Highly effective protection against malware is useless if the performance impact of providing that protection is too high. FEP uses a number of techniques to minimize the performance impact of its protection, from the adaptive network inspection system that incrementally disables signatures if the vulnerabilities they protect against are properly patched, to role-specific exclusions that prevent low-risk but high-performance impact operations, such as database and log file access, from being scanned. This claim to high performance is backed up by the Microsoft Anti-Malware Engine receiving the Advanced Plus rating from AV Comparatives in the performance category. One aspect that clearly distinguishes FEP from its competitors is that it has been designed to leverage Config Manager or Operations Manager for the management, monitoring, and reporting, and does not require any dedicated infrastructure to be rolled out or managed. Instead, the same consoles that are used to manage endpoint configuration and monitoring are extended and leveraged to manage and monitor anti-malware services. This presents opportunities for significant cost savings, not only in infrastructure acquisition and management costs, but also in terms of training and ongoing operational costs. Note that the use of FEP in a Microsoft private cloud environment is not prescriptive, and the customer's existing malware protection product can equally be used in place of FEP, although additional infrastructure and training may be required. The final layer of security controls that we are going to look at is those at the network layer. In a private cloud environment, we are going to be transferring traffic from multiple tenants over the same shared network infrastructure, as well as management and monitoring traffic for the hosting infrastructure. It is therefore critical that we can achieve an appropriate level of traffic isolation so that one tenant's traffic is never exposed to another, and the management traffic that is so critical to the operation of the infrastructure is logically isolated from all tenants. Physical network adapters in Hyper-V hosts can be dedicated to the root partition to prevent any network connectivity between the host and the guests that run on it. Additionally, Hyper-V supports 802.1Q VLAN tagging to enable traffic from individual virtual machines to be isolated on individual VLANs, even if they share a physical network adapter in the host. 802.1Q VLAN tagging is an IEEE standard to allow multiple entities to securely share a single network medium. The switch that a host is connected to tags frames as corresponding to a VLAN, and all compatible network devices between that switch and the frame's destination honor the VLAN ID and maintain separation of the traffic from other VLANs. Hyper-V performs the role of the edge switch in this scenario, adding VLAN tags appropriate for the connected virtual machines to allow traffic to be properly isolated. The diagram shows different types of traffic isolated on four or more VLANs, using dedicated physical adapters or shared adapters and VLAN tagging, or even a mixture of both. For example, the host may have dedicated adapters for each of the three types of management traffic and share one or more adapters between guest virtual machines. Related guest virtual machines would be assigned a common VLAN ID to allow them to communicate, which would be maintained regardless of which physical host in a scale unit the virtual machines are hosted on. Any traffic that must traverse between VLANs must pass through a firewall and be subjected to the access control policy defined there. VLAN enforcement and access control between VLANs is used to control network traffic at the network layer. Following the principles of defense in depth, these controls are supplemented on individual hosts to guard against compromise or misconfiguration of network security and to provide a greater granularity in managing access. The Windows firewall is enabled on every Hyper-V host, management system, and Windows tenant virtual machine, and blocks all inbound connections except those explicitly required. Those inbound connections that are required can be filtered at the IP and port level, or a remote host may be required to authenticate using Kerberos before it can establish a connection using the IPsec protocol. Guests are prevented from establishing any connections to the Hyper-V hosts or any management system to protect against attack on the hosting platform, and all of the firewall policies can be centrally managed via Active Directory group policy. Server and domain isolation using IPsec can be used to further partition hosts on the network. A common scenario would be to mandate that hosts authenticate to one another using Kerberos before they are allowed to establish connections. Hosts that belong to the domain will be able to authenticate and establish these IPsec protected connections, while any rogue hosts will be unable to authenticate and hence will fail to establish connectivity. IPsec has the added benefit of detecting any modification to traffic and optionally encrypting any application traffic against interception. To summarize, Microsoft have the platform, the technologies, and the experience in providing enterprise-class products to enable you to build your private cloud on Microsoft technologies. The Hyper-V hypervisor on the Windows 2008 R2 platform provides the isolation you can rely on to run multiple workloads from different tenants on pooled computing and storage resources without the risk of impacting each other or the cloud infrastructure. Network layer controls built into the Windows platform work in concert with your network infrastructure to ensure a high degree of isolation and control over network traffic belonging to different tenants and used to manage and monitor the cloud. Through enforcement of the secure development lifecycle on all Microsoft products, Microsoft ensures that the products used to host your cloud infrastructure have fewer security flaws, and its industry-leading update management process and integrated tools ensure that those flaws that are found can be remediated in a predictable and timely manner. We also looked at the way in which all of the system center management and monitoring products have been integrated by Opalis, allowing complex manual tasks to be fully automated and orchestrated, and greatly reducing the chances of errors, thus contributing to a more secure operating environment. We looked at how Active Directory provides the overarching security model for the cloud solution, providing strong authentication, authorization, and auditing services, both between cloud components and also extending to encompass consumers of the cloud services. Additionally, we saw how Active Directory provides the centralized policy management infrastructure to control virtually all aspects of the cloud solution's configuration. And finally, we looked at just a couple of the controls that can be applied in a multi-layered, defense-in-depth approach to secure the cloud infrastructure and the tenant workloads that run within it. Thank you for watching this presentation, and check back soon for the next presentation in the series, where we dive deeper into the secure implementation of a private cloud on Microsoft technologies.
check out the Windows Azure subscription options at http://bit.ly/try-windows-azure to find one that works for your business needs.